Oh, okay,
okay. Second talk of the day. Please welcome Jiffin with me for RGW here.
Good morning, all. I am Jiffin. I hope I am audible at the end. Yes? No. Okay. So I am part of the RGW team. Works in IBM. So I started my career in SEF like 5 years ago. I was trying to integrate SEF with Look for the RGW side. Then currently I'm mostly working on RGW latest stuffs. So this is a new project which we are working on. So today I am planning to cover following things. I'll just give a brief intro about what is intelligent tailoring is or what it means. It means different people, different things, but I will clear on that part. Then what do we have in RGW at the moment? Then I will briefly talk about cloud transition restore because the demo is based on those things. And I also mentioned briefly about like S3 tape, what it is. And yeah, fine. Okay. So what is intelligent tailoring? So basically, you need to move the data across different storage mediums, maybe hard HDDs, SSDs. That's the basic idea. And here in S3, like we talk about storage glasses, it represents your storage basically. So faster storage glasses, you need to move the data from different storage glasses, like the standard storage glass, then this glacier storage glass and all. And why we don't do want that? Why do we need that? Because basically it optimizes your cost, like you can keep the most recently accessed data in a faster medium, and like the data which is not that much useful, you can move to a slower medium. And how? It's based on policies, like the policies maybe on the access time, like the recently accessed data will be in the faster medium, and not much, like it will be on the slower medium, or after time, say 10 days, you need to move this data to another storage class kind of things. Now, what do we have in RGW? So if you know, like there's a placement targets, that's what we call, like in which we can define different types of storage glasses. And each storage glasses represent one pool. Like, so if a pool is created on a faster device, then you can name it like fast, something like that. And this is, by default, it creates pools on the Ceph cluster, but I'm talking about like you can also specify pools in which your data can go on. And so as I mentioned before, we have storage glasses, which is similar to what S3 provides, but yeah, it's based on Ceph pools. Then how we do the data transition or data movement, like again with S3 lifecycle policies. So we need to set that policy on the, on the buckets. And one thing is like, so the placement target, so this need to be mentioned when you create a bucket. So in the S3 request, there's a default placement constraint like that. We need to mention that. And you can mention the storage classes for the object operation. Like you can say if you put an object in a different specific storage class, then you can mention that. So that's a manual way of doing it. And after that, you can automatic or like you can do a lifecycle policy and that will move across different storage classes. And all the configuration are defined in the zone group level. So the placement target will be defined in the zone group level. And the zone level, we define the storage classes because in RGW, the zone represents the pool, basically. Like most of the times, like if it's a default thing, then it will be a default zone. But yeah, usually. Yeah. Now, as I mentioned earlier, so I have mentioned about like the data movement across different storage classes. This is a bit more advanced or not advanced, a different use case. So here, the movement is happening between RGW, which is an on-prem, and other one is like the cloud endpoint. So the cloud endpoint need to be like more like an S3 compatible thing. And so here, the zone level configuration is not required. In the placement group, you just define the storage class. And the storage graph, you need to mention the configuration. So this is a special type of storage class, which is known as Cloud S3. And you need to provide the like the S3 endpoint details, like access point, secret, region, and if you want to mention bucket, which bucket you need to put the data and on. So basically, this seems to be a bit controversial in the sense like the on-prem RGW data is moved across cloud. Cloud, you know, it's costly and on-prem is cheaper. So this is kind of first step we are trying to sync with cloud thing. And yeah, in the later slides, the intelligent tailoring or like the tailoring which we are working on, which makes sense if you if I mention about C-tape. So yeah, as I mentioned, this is a unidirectional process as of now. And like I mean, as of now, in the sense, on the latest release, the skewed one, like it's kind of an it's already there, like it's unidirectional. The data will move to the cloud, but you cannot access the data after movement. And you can retain the head object, so you will have a reference in the on-prem cluster, and you can look on the data on the cloud. So that's what cloud transition is. And so this part is merged in the master self. So basically, this adds the restore capability. So we tried to map the restore functionality with restore API in S3. But again, in S3, the restore API is more like you need to move the data from a glacier to the standard story class kind of thing. That's why the API is used. But we are just trying to adopt the API for this purpose, this use case. Like if you use an restore request from the RGW cluster, then it will pick up the object from the cloud. Again, there's also you can use a normal getter operation and all, which is kind of a read-through, like in which you won't know. Like it will asynchronously download the data from the cloud, and then you can access that if you send get request or something like that on the head object. Now, so there are two types of restoring. So one is temporary. Again, it's based on the restore API which S3 provides. So temporary, the data will be stored temporarily, and the lifecycle rules which we have written on the bucket, it's not applicable for the data. And there's an expiration time, like in the next slide, I'll give more details about the S3 API. So after that expiration days or something like that, data will be again moved back to a step data, like kind of a head object kind of thing. So permanent is more like the object will be stored permanently, and so there's no time limit or something like that. But the lifecycle will apply on data, because if you say 10 days after the object need to be moved back to cloud, it will move back to the cloud. Then one key difference is that the restore type, if it's a temporary thing, then we are not doing it for the replication. Like multi-thread purposes, we will just keep it on one zone, because anyway the data will be moved after some time, right? Or, I mean, got deleted after some time. But the for permanent, like the data will be replicated on the different zones as well. And for the get request, this is for the for the S3 get request, if a user is getting the object via S3 get request, then the object will be restored temporary purpose. It's similar to temporary. Okay. Now this is how the API looks like. So as I mentioned, the S3, the API is defined to move the data from glacier or like low cost storage class to a high speed storage class using restore object. But for our use case, we are only supporting one parameter in the restore request, which is days. So if days is defined, then it's a temporary restore. If days is not defined, then it's more like permanent restore. So these are two options at the moment which are available for the request. One is version ID. So if you have multiple versions of the object, if you want to download one version or restore one version, then you can do that. So the current version in the, it will be moved. Like in the, so if you have multiple versions, say, and the four versions will be moved to the cloud, and the current version is 5th version, and if you are doing a restore, then it will restore on the third version, then the on-prem RGB will have the third version object. So the latest version will be overwrite. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay. And for the, this is for the restore object call. Like similar to that, S3 has a get call, like CP or get object call. All will also will fetch the object from the cloud. For that, you need to configure two parameters in the TA config. So one is which makes the like the get request allow the read through. Like it will make the if the request is initiated, then only